Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Cheaper Apple pencils and a crayon.
And I've got a giant pile of to-do lists.
And I have vibranium.
You have vibranium?
On my iPhone.
It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Lighthouse. With 3D and AI, Lighthouse is the only camera that gets your busy life at home. Get 15% off a Lighthouse camera with promo code TWIT at light.house. And by ActiveCampaign. If you have a growing business and you want to acquire more customers, well, you need ActiveCampaign. Their solution goes beyond marketing automation. Get the right type of message to the right person at the right time. For a free trial, go to activecampaign.com/twit. iOS Today time. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Megan Maroney.
This is the show where we cover all the latest news about the iPad, the iPhone. We include the Apple Watch and the Apple TV in this pile of iOS goodness. Mm-hmm. Even though Apple has different names for those OSs, they're really iOS. Hello, Megan.
Hello, Leo.
So I had to get up, gosh darn early, to go to school today.
Yes.
Something I haven't done in 50 years, because I dropped out when I was 11. It was Apple's event, event at the Lane Tech School in Chicago, one of the best public schools in the world, because they send more PhD, they don't graduate PhDs, but more PhDs come from Lane Tech than any other high school in the nation. That's pretty impressive.
Yes.
Apple went there for a special event, which we stayed home for, but Renee Ritchie from MacBreak Weekly was there. Andy Anako from MacBreak Weekly was there. Harry McCracken, a lot of people we know. And we were able to cover the show from their live blog because Apple didn't stream it. There will be a video. In fact, by the time you see this, probably there'll be a video up you can watch. But I thought I'd play one of the videos that they played, not at the beginning. At the beginning, this Tim Cook was on stage. It was a really an event celebrating education, and I liked that. I think they really, a quote from Horace Mann at the beginning saying how important education is. And Apple really is all behind that. Little disappointed by the actual announcements of the event. We'll get to that in a second. But here's a video they made about one of the new tools called homework.
Settle, please. Eyes up here. We're not done. Group three. Let's have Ivy and Michael.
They all have Apple pencils.
Ryan. Sally.
And iPads.
And Thomas.
Oh, and they look so unhappy.
Your homework is to explore gravity. Okay. Don't forget, projects are due on Friday.
He dropped a book,
Friday,
not an iPad.
Please.
Yeah, that would be foolish.
Don't forget your homework.
Now they're using the Apple Pencil to do their project.
Oh, homework.
About gravity.
I hate you. You stink. I wish I could wash you away in the sink.
You guys ready?
If only a hippo would smash you to bits.
Okay, so they just threw a watermelon over a bridge.
And they got a video of it with their...
And an egg.
You're giving me fits.
And then he licked the iPad.
I'd rather take baths with a man-eating shark or wrestle a lion alone in the dark, eat spinach and liver... Pet 10 porcupines.
All the kids are dropping. This is... They're all dropping things off.
Except for their iPads, which don't have cases on them and are making me very nervous.
Very brave. And the garage door opens and Dad comes home while they're using the garage as a studio. Lots of pencil. I don't know,
I simply can't see why you even exist.
Whose poem is this? This sounds
like... Shel Silverstein, maybe?
Oh, maybe it is, yeah.
It sounds like Shel Silverstein.
It's not, of course, but it sounds like it.
Well, they use like Maya Angelou and stuff. It might be. They have enough money to buy whoever's poem they want.
If
think Shell's gone. I don't think they have enough money to put Shell on. Pink.
Well, with an next actor up, reading it.
Group three.
Oh, yes. Yes. I thought you meant the voice.
Homework. Oh.
I hate you. Yeah, he passed away about 20 years ago. That's kind of cool. I love it. It's showing kids using the new iPad. So let's talk a little bit about what Apple announced today. First of all, put your disappointment hats on if you were looking for a new iPhone, a new Macintosh. It was exactly what everybody kind of predicted, which is they took the current low-end iPad, the $329 iPad, and they updated it so that you could use a pencil with it. That's nice. No smart connector, though, so no keyboard, you know, except for Bluetooth keyboards. And they put an A10 Fusion chip in it, so it's not as fast as the current iPad Pros, but it is a lot faster than the old $329 iPad. $299 for education. I'm a little disappointed they did not make a lower-cost education model available. They did drop the price of the pencil, though, by $10 for education. $89. And there is a crayon, apparently.
Yeah, from Logitech. It's $50.
We don't know much about that. Does it take all the pencil capabilities? And Logitech has a new $89 case as well. I guess this is be more appealing to younger kids.
Well, I would hope with the crayon branding that it would be something that would be for younger kids.
Right.
And not just because younger kids are more likely to lose it.
Mostly the announcement, though, really was about new software. And there was a lot of it. For one thing, Apple is going to take the functionality into iBooks Author, which when it came out, whatever it was, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, we were very excited about the potential for making a lot of interesting books and curricula, digital works of all kinds. And it didn't seem like it was widely adopted. But I think Apple's done something that will make it more appealing. They're updating the iWork suite, Pages, Numbers, Keynote, and they're going to add, besides collaboration features to it, they're going to add all of the iBooks Author's tools into Pages. So Pages is now the new iBooks Author, and that actually makes more sense. Pages is the word processor part of iWork. iWork hasn't really been significantly updated in a long time. There have just been little patches here and there. So this is very good news for all of us because we all get iWork for free on our iPads. And now it will have a lot of new capabilities. And it's not just limited to educators, but I think educators may well be very interested in it. In fact, in that homework video, you saw kids, you know, drawing stuff about gravity and so forth. And my guess is that's in iWork, that the presentation will end up in Keynote, that maybe they're using Pages to do the presentations. And they're using pencils. But I'm a little, and they also announced a fourth new part of iWork, which is for the teacher, right? And I actually don't know all the details on that one. I'm going to see.
Apple Teacher is what it's called.
Apple Teacher. And it lets teachers keep track. We're going to find out more as time goes by, but keep track of the class, how kids are doing, what assignments, what apps they're using, not just Apple apps, but third-party apps as well. Give kids assignments, probably, although we'll have to look and see. Let parents know what's going on. Apple was very clear right at the beginning to say, and everything that goes on here is private. We don't know what you're doing with it. We can't see into it. Only the teachers and the kids can see into it. And that's, of course, very important to parents. In fact, there was a lot of to-do, hoorah, about Google's Chromebooks. People were worried that the privacy of a Chromebook wasn't great. At Google's step forward to change some things and to reiterate others that it is private, that Google doesn't have a view into any of the classroom stuff that you use with Google's tools. But this is really Apple responding to Google, isn't it? Because Google is eating their lunch in the classroom right now. In fact, Google this morning, right before the Apple event, announced a new Chrome OS tablet from Acer that is roughly the same price and has Android as well as, and of course, Google Classroom on it. Although you pointed out, and I didn't realize this, you could use Google Classroom with a class and iPads.
Yeah, you can use it on your iPhone. I mean, you can use it everywhere. I mean,
so
that's what I use I'm using right now on my iPad.
Okay.
So yeah, they announced that yesterday, the new
tablet,
which was an interesting choice, I think, because one of my difficulties with using an iPad in the classroom is you need a separate keyboard. And so that's why I like Chromebook. So a Chromebook tablet means you'll have to get a new keyboard. But as you said, that they're trying to get the price down, and that's why.
Right. Of course, Apple has a class kit in iOS 11.3. We knew about this. This will be additional features that will apparently be make it easier for teachers to keep track of what's going on, to make assignments and so forth. I'm just looking as we go through the notes, because the event just ended before we went on the air here.
Yeah, it was, from what I could see on Twitter, it seemed like there was a lot of flash, a lot of like, look what's amazing. And I don't know that that's what teachers want or need.
Apple does sell the sizzle. For instance, they spent a long time talking about all the things you could do with augmented reality in an iPad. You know, you can look at rivers, you can see pyramids, you can travel.
Dissect a frog.
Dissect a frog without actually cutting into a frog using the Apple Pencil. To me, that kind of sizzle is nice, and I think there are plenty of teachers who understand that one way to grab kids is to have that kind of thing. But I also suspect school districts are looking for utility and value. They're looking for something that's robust, that won't break right away. Yeah, they guarantee you that iPad in the we saw in the homework video would be encased in hard rubber all around it if they really are giving those to kids. Yeah. And I worry about these pencils because it doesn't look like these are any different than the pencils that we currently use. By the way, apparently no new features either on the Apple Pencil. And these things, here's the video that they showed of the pencil at work. These things are easy to lose. The caps especially are easy to lose. I don't know anybody who hasn't lost a cap or two on the pencil. The nibs wear out fairly quickly. They're easy to unscrew accidentally and lose. This is the kind of thing you want to give a very responsible child, but not the average eighth grader, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think so. The education market is very, very difficult, the educational software market. My husband is a teacher. He's been one for 20 years at least. He used to work in educational software for a short time during the dot-com boom, like for a tech company that was trying to tackle this. And he left because it is so hard. All school districts have different needs. The students have different needs.
Yeah.
The teachers have different needs.
Right. And some different interests.
Yes.
Some don't want technology in the classroom at all.
And so I think that I've seen my kids, you know, they've gone to the same, they went to the same school for many years. And I've seen teachers from when they were in kindergarten, now they're in seventh grade and ninth grade. I've seen teachers that were so, like, I'm not even going to email you. I'm going to print everything out and give it to you at the end of the day because I'm not comfortable with email. I've seen them now get accustomed to the tools in Google Classroom. It's literally one click. And, you know, all of here's what we did this week. Here's the questions you can ask your student about what we've been doing. Here are their grades. Here's what they need to work on. And it's so easy. So, but then there are other teachers that are so familiar with this that, you know, this may or may not work for them. It's tough.
I've watched the same thing happen with Moodle, which is a very common, popular, and open source classroom tool, which is now, I think, fairly outdated by Google Classroom and what Apple's offering here. But I've watched teachers who can use it and make amazing things and really do great stuff. And then I've watched many teachers completely frustrated with it, feeling like it's too ugly, too difficult to use. And that's exactly right. There really is a wide range of skills and interests in the education community. I don't think Apple selling the sizzle is necessarily very compelling. They also pointed out that this new A10 Fusion, which is really the old iPad chip that's in the new iPads, is faster than any Chromebook. I don't know if that's compelling to teachers. Maybe it is to some science teacher who's having trouble getting a Chromebook to do what he wants to do because she's simulating rocket launches. I don't know. I don't feel like speed or augmented reality is what most classrooms are looking for. You're right. Some would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, I guess what I'm saying is I don't know how compelling what Apple said today is to the general education. It's exciting. I'm thrilled that Apple's supporting education. I would have liked to see more. I would have, for instance, Apple has a lot of cash. I would love to see Apple, and I think the shareholders would go for this, set up a fund for schools to support, to subsidize iPad purchases in schools. Put a few hundred million aside. You can afford that.
Yeah, I think they do some of that. I know they're working on getting Wi-Fi to schools that don't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
they
this is a non-starter program if you don't have internet access.
Right. So one of the other things that I think was touted on Twitter by tech journalists was every iPad, every classroom iPad gets 200 gigabytes of cloud storage per user.
That was pretty good. I think that's exciting. isn't it?
But
Google gives you more.
Unlimited.
Yeah.
If you have Google Classroom, unlimited storage.
Yeah.
Forever.
Although 200 gigabytes
is unlimited.
Is virtually unlimited, yeah. I should point out. It's a lot.
But so.
But it does feel like, it really does feel like Apple's holding back a little bit.
Yeah.
That they're not as, they're a little stingy.
Right. Well, I talked to someone who works at Google Classroom. He's a salesperson, Mark Renee. He said I could say his name. He's not press trained, but he did say that he has worked at Microsoft before and working in education there too. And Microsoft tried to do that unlimited and they pulled back. I mean, Google just has a lot more storage yeah. than everyone else does. They can say, you know, unlimited and they can mean it. The other thing that I didn't hear them talking about or I didn't hear people tweeting about was an ID management system and sort of a portfolio. Like what happens to all your work, especially the stuff in the cloud, after you graduate? My daughter was in the public school. They were using Google Classroom. She had all of her work there. And then she left to go to private school. And she was just looking for a paper that she wrote recently. Like she wrote last year. Last year she wrote a paper about gun control. She was thinking about it. She wanted to go look at it. She had no more access to it. And so that stuff.
That's too bad.
Yeah. So when I.
Although, this is a teaching moment.
Yeah. Save your
back your data up.
Yes. And don't. Yeah. So when I talked to Mark from Google, he said that Google is supposed to they have a portfolio tool, which
will move your stuff to your new Google account.
And then to your new Google account. They have that in place. It's just that her teacher didn't tell her how to do it. But it is a good, it's a good teachable.
And that makes sense, right? That Google would allow you to migrate it once you have to leave behind your school account.
Right. Mm-hmm.
By the way, this $329 iPad, this new just sixth generation iPad, only has 32 gigs of storage. It's not expandable storage. Again, you're going to have to buy a keyboard, another $60, $70, $80. You're going to have to buy a pencil, another $89. This is not particularly affordable, and it's not. And yeah, you have an A10 Fusion processor, but 32 gigs of storage, that's not, I don't know, is that a lot of storage for a kid? Maybe they store everything in iCloud, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You would hope they do, because otherwise, when they break the iPad, which they will inevitably, they'll lose access to their stuff. So yeah, I guess that's the presumption. I'm not sure if I'm sold on all of this. And it'd be interesting. We'd love to hear from educators what you think. And I think you're right. I think there'll be a range of responses. Some will say, this is great. We've wanted to use iPads in the classroom. There's some things that we needed. This is going to make a difference. I am a big fan of iBook Author. I noticed not a lot of people used it. I hope making it available in Pages will make a difference. I hope I will start using it. I'm looking forward. They said that the new iWork will be available today. So I'm looking for a download as we do the show, and maybe it'll come in before it's over. We can play with it a little bit. Let's see what else. They said that these iPads could be ordered today, will be available later this week. Usually that means on a Friday. So if you have been waiting and looking for a low-cost iPad, well, this is the new low-cost iPad. And for average people on the street, $329. And you might want to get the next one up with a little bit more storage, because 32 gigs, unless you get that 200 gig deal, is not a lot of storage.
Mm-hmm. On Thursday, I'm going to talk to Carolina Milanese. She was at the event. She's a researcher, an Apple researcher, also a parent. So on Tech News Weekly, we'll talk about her experience there. She was, an Apple researcher, and she seems to really understand this from a Apple perspective and also from a parent perspective.
Later today on Mac Break Weekly, Andy Inaco, who was also at the event, will be joining us. Renee Ritchie will not. I think he's going to be filing, and Serenity will be, they're busy doing iMore, but Andy said he would find a place and get on Skype with us in a couple hours. So that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's pretty much it. We were at least hoping maybe for an update to the pencil, maybe some other new hardware, an update to the iPad. No, there's still another Apple event not too far off, early June for WWDC. If there are new MacBooks, and I think there have to be new MacBooks mm-hmm. this year, but I mean MacBooks and MacBook Pros and maybe even MacBook Airs, it'll be in June in all likelihood.
So what about the Apple Pencil? Do you want to be updated?
Well, there was a lot of speculation that maybe new capabilities. You're right. There's nothing. I don't use it. It's sitting on my iPad.
I don't use
it
either.
So I'm the wrong person to ask. But I, you know, for one thing, I really would love it if you could turn it upside down and erase. Is that just me? Some pencils will do that. Many pencils for Windows devices, for instance, have buttons. So do the Google pencils, which mean that you have more capabilities as you're drawing. You can press a button and make the eraser come on. These are assignable in many cases. This is a Windows pencil, but Google pencils also have buttons on them. The Apple Pencil, you know, very typical. Apple doesn't like buttons, so mm-hmm. the Apple Pencil is what it is. I think charging could be perhaps done better. But, you know, what about wireless charging for an Apple Pencil? Wouldn't that be a nice feature?
That would be.
I'm not an artist, so I don't know if the Apple Pencil needs features in terms of the number of levels of pressure or anything like that. I think people who use the Apple Pencil are pretty happy with it. I thought maybe there'd be a second generation Apple Pencil, but no.
I would like some acknowledgement to how kids treat these devices. Like we said, losing it. Like, what if there's a way to keep it attached? I know there's a magnet on the side of the Surface Pen. That was a great, beautiful video. And in that video that we watched, the kids weren't just using the iPad. They were playing and, you know, throwing things and, you know, swinging. And I think that was on purpose because I think parents and, you know, just people who even aren't parents are generally concerned with how much time kids are spending on devices. And so really it was pointing out that, like, it's sort of parallel to what you're really learning.
I'd also like to point out that in all of the Apple videos and all the Apple materials, they talk about all the ways kids can create, except to me, and maybe I'm old-fashioned, the most important way, writing. Mm-hmm. And these are not well-suited to writing. You have to get a keyboard if you're going to do that. Typing on glass is not well-suited to writing. And Apple really acts as if the future is going to be video and drawings and graphics design, and I admit all of that stuff is compelling and exciting, but I think writing is, unless I'm, you know, really old-fashioned, still the main way we communicate with each other. If you're going to get a job in the world, you're not going to communicate with videos, you're going to communicate with writing. So I just don't think these are as well-suited as a Chromebook to the most fundamental thing a kid should be learning, which mm-hmm. is writing.
And then I know that you're not talking about specifically like hand, you know, pencil to paper writing, but there is something to be said about that. And so maybe that's where the pencil comes in. I mean, there's a part of your brain that's stimulated by writing.
I agree with you. And I think writing on glass is exactly the wrong way to do that. Mm. You're the bullet journal queen. You like to write on paper.
It's true, I do.
And there is, I really sound like an old fart here, but I think writing on paper is very different mm-hmm. from writing on glass with a pencil.
Yeah.
Pencil is fine for drawing. I think it's great for drawing. I think there's lots of things you can do with a pencil and digital software that obviously you can't do with paper. But if you're trying to teach cursive, that's not the way to do it. Mm-hmm. You're going to teach cursive because people, I don't know, maybe the future, nobody will be writing anymore. We'll all be just sending each other Snapchats with emoji. And this is great. This mm-hmm. is the future. This is the way it should be.
Yeah.
I
like how you called me the bullet journal queen. I'm going to change
Are
my
you
bio.
Not?
No, I just, no, I like
I think
it.
You are.
I'm going to just refer to myself as that. Start my own
I don't
want to
say
channel.
Apple's out of touch or Silicon Valley's out of touch. And maybe we're out of touch.
We're not out of touch, Leo.
But I feel like I was hoping for more. I really was. I'm disappointed, mm-hmm. I guess. And I was prepared for disappointment, by the way. I expected that. As soon as we knew Apple wasn't going to stream it, I thought, oh, that's a sign. That, you know, some people said, well, that's because they probably don't have the capability in Chicago. Of course they have the capability. They could just hire Alex Lindsay. They could do that. It sounds like Apple knew that this wasn't going to be a major event. This really was what Apple said it was going to be, an event about education. Mm-hmm. And God bless them for supporting education. You know, Microsoft's doing the same thing. I have to feel a little cynical that, Apple has for years supported education. Microsoft has for years supported education, mostly because I believe these companies think if we can get them young, we'll get them for life. And really, they're frantically scrambling at this point because Google's eating their lunch in schools with Chromebooks.
So you could be the cynical one, and that allows me to be the optimist here. And that is that I think a lot of the people working on the ground, working on these tools, really just want understand that kids, they're the future for better, you know, for I know it's a cliche, but it's true. And that there's big problems in the world that need to be solved. And if we're able to give kids the tools to learn how to, you know, throw a watermelon over, you know, figure out gravity, then like they're going to use these same tools in the future to solve those big problems that we need solved. And so Why not give them the best tools? There's a question about, you know, cost, and is everybody getting these tools? And is the person that maybe is best suited, the kid who's best suited to serve these tools, are they in a neighborhood or someplace where they're not getting access to these tools? Like that, you know, that is an issue. I want to show one more Google tool on the iPad that might help in education. Do you know Google Lens?
Traitor.
Google Lens is available.
It's now available for photos.
So it's in Google Photos, which is on iOS. So let's say I need to find out more about this perfume. I just tap on this little Google Lens icon. If you use Android, you're familiar with it. And it's going to do all kinds of magic on this photo. I've only used it on my iPhone. Let's see. So it figures out what this is, and it knows that's
Arizona?
No, that it's Provenza Schuller is a New York-based women's wear and accessories brand found in 2002. So,
Holy cow, look at that.
You know, it finds the language of it. I thought this was really interesting. I tried it on a lot of my photos. We went to the march.
Fight Truth Decay. I love it. Is that your sign?
That was my sign. My boys in San Francisco at the March for Our Lives.
They're about dental health. That's so important.
They really are. Yeah. And so it says not seeing this, so you can search Google and it will tell you demonstration and it finds similar images. So I tweeted this out because it's so cool, I think, to Google Lenses, but I can't really think about what you might necessarily use it for. I got some tweets back. Some people use it to identify flowers. You can use it to, if you have a bunch of business cards, you just put them in there.
I like that feature. I have to say, this is early days yet. This is the beginning of, and Google's using this to train computer recognition capabilities mm-hmm. so that at some point you could have a glasses or something watching the world around you and at all times understanding much better what it's seeing and giving you additional information. Imagine, I mean, it's one thing to take a picture of something and then later look in Google Photos and see what that thing is. Another thing entirely, and I think this is where we're going, whether it's Apple's AirPods in your ear or some form of eyewear on your face, what Google's doing here, and one of the reasons Google is the, you know, I think the winning horse so far in this race, is collecting a lot of information and really refining its recognition capabilities, because ultimately that's what you want, right?
Mm-hmm. So speaking of recognition using algorithms.
There are things that do that today.
Yes.
Like my lighthouse.
Yes.
I love this thing. So you could put, and a lot of people are doing this, a camera in your house to keep an eye on things. Or you could put a brain in your house to keep an eye on things. And this is where vision is so important. Recognition is so important. The lighthouse is not just a camera. It has something called time of flight LIDAR into it that can automatically create a 3D vision, a view of the world that's sufficient to distinguish, for instance, humans, pets, inanimate objects, moving doors. So lighthouse knows the difference, and it can use face recognition to say, I don't know that person that's in your house, and notify you. Your lighthouse is connected to the internet, of course, and can notify you wherever you are on your phone. You can even use artificial intelligence, natural language, to tell it what you want to watch for. Let me know. Look at that. It looks like someone new is here with Sarah. Could it be the new boyfriend? Let me know. This is a exact query you could enter. When Sarah comes home, if she's with anybody you don't know. Or let me know when the pets are in the house between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Did you see what that kid did, which was really interesting? He waved at the camera. This is another wonderful feature of the lighthouse. You can wave at the camera, and it will ping mom and dad saying, hey, Junior is trying to say hello. And there's a speaker and a microphone in the lighthouse, and you can talk to him. Look at this. Did the dog jump on the couch today? Who was running between 3 and 5 p.m.? This is, if you really want to know, and your kids are telling you, when you say, who broke the lamp, and they tell you nobody, this is how you find out. This is so cool. 30-day video history, natural language, 3D imaging that can help distinguish between all kinds of things. Oh, here's one more feature that's really important for me. Lisa said, no camera in the house unless we can turn it off when we're home. And the lighthouse can be set up, and we have to automatically turn off when Lisa and I are at home, or anybody else for that matter. So it is our privacy is protected. When we're home, no video. But when we're not home, no mysteries. I love the lighthouse. Lighthouse is awesome. You can find out more at light.house. Use the promo code TWIT. You'll get 15% off the Lighthouse camera. And as an early customer, 90 days of AI service at no cost. Lighthouse, $2.99 for the camera, $10 a month for the AI service. It is really worth it. This is exactly where we're headed with recognition. That's amazing. I love the Lighthouse. Light.house. Use the promo code TWIT for 15% off. And as I said, as an early customer, you'll get 90 days of AI service at no cost to you. Light.house. Oh, I love it. We actually have two now. I've expanded our lighthouses in the house. Thank them for their support. Make sure you buy. Thank you and farewell.
Yeah, the little boy who knocks over the
isn't that funny?
He does not thank you. But
now, don't do that. Well, you could, I guess, if you wanted to ascribe blame. Isn't that funny? If you didn't watch the video, mom comes home and there's a broken vase on the ground, and she says to the Lighthouse app, "Well, was the dog in the house today?" And no. And then the sister comes over and says, "Who was running around in the house between 3 and 5 p.m.? Busted. It was her little brother. This is the little brother torture tool.
We got a letter.
What?
An actual written
on
letter.
Paper? See, yes, I'm saying writing.
I know.
Writing.
Yes. You got the letter from Joe. He's
Hi,
a big
Joe.
Fan of the network. And we were talking yesterday about horse racing.
Oh, yeah.
Racetracks.
Oh, yeah. He sent us some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
He's a racetrack photog.
Yes. He sent us an entire video.
Look at this.
The track at Saratoga.
He's up in Saratoga, New York, the legendary racetrack. I would love to go see a race at Saratoga. And he has a video of the track at Saratoga, America's grandest race course. David Hyde Pierce narrates it.
He says, please take a look at the enclosed video. I'm a professional photographer based here in Albany, New York. Take a look at our site, alariophotography.com.
A-L-A-R-I-O.
E-L-A-R-I-O.
Okay. That's why I spelled it for you. E-L-A-R-I-O.
He also says, by the way, Megan's not bad. Megan's not bad.
Does he mean not good, not bad? Or
I think this was to you. And he said all these things.
He's saying nice things to me, and you're not bad either.
Yeah, I'm not bad either. I'm not bad as
That's
well.
Nice.
So
thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. ELARIOphotography.com. Nice.
We seem to be ignoring the HomePod, but Kevin sent us a tip.
Who's not?
No.
I ignore mine. It's
you
in
do?
My kitchen.
You don't listen to it?
Every once in a while, I'll say, hey, Shlomo, play a podcast or whatever.
Do you know that you can actually subscribe to podcasts by saying the wake word subscribe to iOS Today podcast?
Then what happens?
That's a really good question.
Does that subscribe in your podcast app then?
Yeah. And then I guess you can
like
just play my
podcast. See, now here we're talking some nice integration with iOS. See, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more of that. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. Good.
So, like,
Thank
if you're
you,
listening
Kevin.
To another podcast and we said on iOS Today, you know, you should also listen to the new screensavers.
Yeah.
And so you could say, oh, yeah, I should do that. And then you would say, subscribe to the new screensavers.
And then it would be on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And then you could have it. Yeah. And then you can listen to it on your HomePod.
Nice.
Burke also sent us a little video about how to make an Apple II watch. You know, Burke here, he emailed.
Another Burke project. We're going to have to get Burke projects on the show.
Yes, Burke projects.
Oh, look at that.
It's
that
got
is
a tiny screen.
Floppy disk.
Little
floppy disk. I love it. This is real? Somebody actually made this?
Somebody made it. It's an instructable, yeah.
Oh, my God. I want. Oh, look at that knob.
Isn't it cute? Would you? I don't think you would wear it, but
you know who'd wear it? Woz.
Yeah, probably.
Send it to Woz. He would totally wear that.
It's pretty nice.
Neat.
Do you still use your Apple Watch charger that's an Apple?
I do. That's my bedside charger. Mm-hmm. It slots into a little Mac, little rubber Mac case, and it looks like I've got a tiny Mac on my desktop, but it doesn't have tiny floppies. Look, he's putting them in with tweezers. Oh, that is the cutest thing ever.
It is. It really is. Thank you for sending that, Burke. Jim writes, what social media app would you recommend besides Facebook? I use Twitter, but in a very limited way, primarily to see journalists' posts. Took a look at Mastodon, but it looks too restricted. So are you still using Vero?
No, I stopped using Vero.
Just because you didn't need another social media?
This is the real problem. I think it's not a good idea to replace what you've got with something similar. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you have problems with Facebook, and by the way, you should. We are learning more. Did you see this? The Facebook now said, yeah, we collected information about your phone calls on your Android phone. Who you called, how long you talked to them. We collect that, but you gave us permission when you installed Facebook Messenger. We asked, is it okay if we look at your contacts and collect all that? They didn't. This company is the worst. So I guess, but my fear is that how is Vero going to be any better?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd love to see is something new and different. There have been, there's Diaspora, which was an attempt to replace Facebook with a federated private platform. Hello, which is hello without the H. Mm-hmm. Hello. That's turned, both of those have kind of pivoted away from replacing Facebook. I don't know, really, this is a Wired article about the best alternatives. They're all weak.
Okay, so here's my point, and this is why I brought up this article. So as long as you've brought up this article, Kevin, we'll talk about it. I think when you say, what do I want to replace Facebook with, you have to think,
how do I use it?
What about Facebook do I want? And this Wired article suggests many, many different kinds of apps, and you're like, oh, I have to download so many apps. It feels like 2009. But maybe that's not so bad. Maybe it's not so bad to have your information, like your specific information, separate, not given to this giant company.
Right. Yeah, we're really in a surveillance economy, and I think that we have to recognize that and decide how we feel about it. I'd like to be with a company. I can understand surveillance in the sense that that's how they monetize, but I don't want it to be with a company that's collecting more information than we realize and not being completely candid about that. And mm-hmm. Facebook is clearly that. So if you need Messenger, well, there are much better choices. Signal. Just use Signal. Period. Mm-hmm. Just use Signal. Now, the problem with that is everybody has Facebook and Facebook Messenger. Nobody has Signal. So you have to convince your family and friends to use it. But maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the opportunity to get everybody to move to Signal for messaging. Or Apple's messages, which is fine. It's just limited because you can only do it on Apple devices. But, I mean, Apple Messages is great. I trust Apple. Although, did you see the recent survey of which companies people trust to keep their data private? And Apple actually was Facebook was the lowest, but Apple was the next lowest, even behind Google and Microsoft. So Apple, I do trust Apple. I think that their position on privacy is very clear, and I think they really do want to keep things private. But there are even more private things like Signal. The issue is, when you ask me, what do you want to replace Facebook with? The thing that is hardest to replace is keeping in touch with family and friends, discovering old high school flames, finding out whatever happened. What are you laughing at?
I don't know that it's the healthiest thing to discover.
It probably isn't.
Flames.
And people say to me, well, how are you going to keep in touch with your family? Well, I call them or write them or talk to them. The people I really want to keep in touch with, I'm already in touch with. I don't need Facebook for. So Facebook really is mostly, I think, used for people that you kind of sort of, peripheral people. And I don't know what you replace that with. Maybe you don't need to replace that, I guess, is the point.
So I think that, I've heard a lot of people say, like on Twitter, not people probably watching the show that say, like, well, I'm quitting Facebook. I'm just going to Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. I'm sure everyone knows.
But it doesn't seem as bad.
No, it doesn't seem as bad. If you think that Facebook isn't still looking at the Instagram pictures that you're posting, the things that you're liking on Instagram, how fast you're scrolling.
By the way, even if you don't have a Facebook account, Facebook is collecting information on you.
Mm-hmm.
Every page you go by that has a Facebook like button or log in with Facebook is collecting your information, and Facebook's aggregating that. Believe me, they're not ignoring it. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get out of the Facebook space.
Right, and they probably have some location tracking. So if you still have Instagram...
Any app you have in your phone is collecting. I don't care who it's from.
Right.
They're all collecting data on you,
so
all of them.
If you don't want to use Facebook because you don't want to see too much political talk, or you don't
that
wanna,
I understand.
Then Instagram, sure, that's a good solution for that. If you just want something more simply, maybe like a smaller social network that hasn't already gotten out of control, that's fine for Instagram. One thing I want to suggest, I recently got an email from Shutterfly that said, here are your memories from 15 years ago, and it was when my daughter was born. And I just thought, oh, there's Shutterfly still keeping my photos from 15 years ago, before Facebook, before Instagram, before any of this. And I just thought,
to some, that's a benefit, though. You just were talking about.
No, I know. It is a benefit.
Right.
I loved seeing that. And they don't know anything else about me besides my photos. You know, Shutterfly has been around forever. They're selling products. They want to sell me photo books. They want to sell me mugs. Back then I did put all my pictures on Shutterfly, and then I sent an email to the people I wanted to share with. And it was like once every month or 2 months. It wasn't every day when I like took a picture of my latte and felt like the world needed to see it. It was just something different. So if you're using Facebook really to like keep into like make sure that your kids' grandparents have photos, or, you know, your aunts or uncles, Shutterfly. It's free service.
I think Shutterfly is really good.
They're way better than they used to be.
Scott Bourne, who's one of our favorite photographers, turned me on to Shutterfly. He said, you know, they're still around and they're still great.
Yeah. So I think definitely that is
it
something.
It probably is a good idea if you fragment your information.
Yeah, that's what I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, I think we have to face it that just by nature of the internet and using our devices, we're really giving up a lot of information to a lot of different people who have very little interest in keeping it private. And it's just kind of, I think we're kind of stuck with that unless you get offline.
Yeah. So I asked Jim this question, who asked, you know, and I was like, what do you use it for? And he said, you know, a lot of things, keeping in touch with friends. And he also said, he said other groups post urgent messages. He has some groups, like local groups, they post lost pets, weather threats, various alerts. You can use Nextdoor for that, which is not owned by Facebook.
But I bet you Nextdoor is collecting a bunch of information.
Probably you're right. We just don't know about it.
I used to have all of that installed on my phone, and I'm really thinking now, it's really important to understand every app you put on your phone is really collecting. And when we found out that Facebook had, with your permission, been collecting information about every call you made, every call you received, how long those calls lasted. Think about this. With your phone, if you, let's say, how can I put this delicately? Let's say you hook up with somebody, you're a young person and you hook up with somebody.
You meet someone.
You meet somebody, you go home
connection.
With them.
You have a connection.
Did you know, I mean, think about this. Every app on your phone knows that you did that. In fact, Facebook probably knows who you hooked up with because she's on Facebook or he's on Facebook too. And think about the database of information Facebook has about every place you go, every person you're with. Facebook knows, for instance, right now that you and I are in the same place together. Eventually it knows, oh, the place they're in together with Kevin and Patrick. Oh, that's a workplace. They now, I mean, the amount of information, they know more about you than probably anybody else in your life. Almost certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just here. I know you work here, but I don't know where you go after you work here. They do. I don't know which hamburger joint you hide out in. They do. I don't know what your favorite candy bar is. They do. They know all of that stuff. And, I kind of feel like this whole Facebook thing has really been a revelation for a lot of people. We've talked about this so many times. We know this, but I think the regular world is now realizing, oh my God.
I don't know if they are realizing. So this is what my advice to Jim. This Jim says he has a lot of local groups. Jim, what if you decided to say, call a meeting in a local meeting place and say, you know, we have this Facebook group that's been going on for so long. Let's Why can't we meet in person? Can we all meet in person? And then maybe, Jim, it's your responsibility to say, like, I want to talk about privacy. And maybe I would love to still stay in this group with you, but I would like to take it off Facebook. And here are the reasons. And I just, like, as a social service to your local group friends.
I think that's a great thing. I think the delete Facebook movement is great, not because it's going to really make you more private in the long run, but because it sends a signal.
And I think the more,
an important signal. And they've lost $100 billion of market value.
Yes.
And that's an important signal.
And I think this is my guiding principle in life. Like, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you should do nothing.
Right. You can do something.
So, you know, like I said, we went to the March for Our Lives with my kids and their friends. And somebody tagged a photo of some of the friends that we were with tagged me in a photo on Facebook. I'm still on Facebook. I'm deciding how I'm going to get off Facebook. I'm figuring it out. But I mean, I know how to do it technically. I just need to know, like I said, where I'm going to go next. But I thought, you know, I was like, well, that's fine. But you need to know that is, like, not only tagging me, they probably know that my kids were there. What about in the future? Like, what if, you know, one of them wants to have a political career and it's really bad to have, like, protested in this way?
And the good news is we'll have a list of all the booty calls, too.
Yes.
Here's the really good news. Nobody will ever be able to be blackmailed again.
Right. That's true. Well, yeah, maybe.
but the information is out there. I mean, I could write a program in 5 seconds that would figure out, you know, every booty call you've ever had, because I know what calls you've made. I know when you ended up in the same place as that person later that day. All of that stuff is easily deduced from the information that Facebook has gathered on you.
Right.
And that, I mean, who knows how that will get used against you in the future? Who knows?
It's true. But like what you're saying is maybe there will be no shame in the future. Like, we'll know all of our dirty secrets.
People like Jeff Jarvis, who are very much about being public, say that's one advantage of this, mm-hmm. that there will be no dirty secrets because we all have them and it will all be knowable. The problem I have is it's not fully knowable. It's, you know, in China, for instance, I just read this article today. They're heavily using face recognition in China. And in Shenzhen, China, they decided they want to punish jaywalkers. So if you jaywalk, they have cameras. They have 7-megapixel cameras on all the intersections. If you jaywalk, for a while they've been doing this. They've been putting your picture, your information, your name, some digits from your national ID up on the screen, a big screen saying jaywalker. Now what they're planning to do is text you, send you a text saying you've jaywalked. And here's where you start to get really bad. Okay, that's public shaming. But, you know, if everybody jaywalks, I'm not that shamed. But it's also going to hurt your social credit. And they've announced that if you jaywalk enough, we're going to ding your social credit, which is a score everybody in China has. And if your social credit gets low enough, you won't be able to take a train, ride a bus, get a loan. It will be a FICO score for how obedient you are. Mm-hmm. They're doing this very publicly, and that's where we're headed.
Yeah, to Black Mirror.
It's Black Mirror. It's straight out of Black Mirror.
Yeah, and I don't think like our secrets, like I don't think like the future, like our Stormy Daniels in our lives are obviously not going to be the problem. The problem is
did not have a booty call with that woman. I just want to be very clear. And I don't care what Facebook says. You know, by the way, okay, this is a good example, though. Facebook has much more information about whatever President Trump's relationships have been. They have total information about that. Unless President Trump doesn't have Facebook, which he probably doesn't. But I imagine everybody under 50 does, or under 30 does. So when the next president comes along, there's nothing to stop Mark Zuckerberg from saying...
Yeah. Yeah. I know one interesting thing. This is a little bit of a digression, but, you know, we've been having conversations about Stormy Daniels and the households. So
that's got to be tough.
Okay, so
I'm
it goes a little bit like
fully
this.
Grown.
Yeah, but it goes a little bit like this, where my parents came over for Sunday dinner. They come over every Sunday, and my dad was like, "Should we watch the Stormy Daniels interview?" And my mom's like, "Shh."
The highly rated 60 minutes in history.
Yeah, and then Annabella says, she's 14, she says, "Who's Stormy Daniels?" And Huck says, "She's the she's the guy that that Trump paid to have sex with her." And then Milo says, "She's a porn star." So, like, they are,
They know. I'm glad Annabella doesn't.
Yeah. So, but
my 15-year-old doesn't, maybe knows, but doesn't care.
Yeah. So I asked Alexa this morning. I asked her my Amazon Echo. I asked her, "Who is Stormy Daniels?" And she said she's an adult film star by the name of whatever her real name is, and something else. And, you know, nothing about Donald Trump or anything. But and then I asked who Monica Lewinsky was, just out of curiosity.
And a blast from the past.
Yeah, and she, another uncomfortable, maybe you had to have uncomfortable conversations with your children then. That was 98. They were 8.
They were 6 and
6 and 8. So eight, you got to avoid, probably. Yeah. You guys didn't watch TV. You were that kind of family.
No, it didn't come up.
So, she's an activist, and she was a White House intern.
But see, they get this from Wikipedia,
yeah,
right?
I know, but it's still interesting, you know, because Milo was listening, and he was like, "Oh, I bet Trump fired her too." And I was like, "Well, she wasn't. She was a White House intern."
He's getting a little cynical in his old age.
It's 12. But I was like, she was a White House intern 20 years ago under President Clinton. But I left it at that. And
that's,
I think,
sufficient.
I think so. I don't know how we got. Sorry, I totally sidetracked.
Boy, you really. Don't blame me on this one.
Yeah, sorry. Alex asked, "I have an iPhone 6 and I would like to get a used iPad 2.
A used
iPad 2. What basic apps, such as mail, messages, and pages, will they sync fairly well between my iPhone and the iPad, even though the iPad is running iOS 9?
I think this is problematic. If you're going to get an iPad, I don't know how much you're going to save getting a used iPad 2
right,
at this point. If you want an iPad, I would really shoot for an iPad that can at least run iOS 11. It really becomes problematic. Because you can't run, a lot of modern apps won't run on it. It's going to get harder and harder to do things with this. This is somewhat of an artificial situation created by Apple, but it is the case that the old iPads are getting less and less desirable. The iPad 2 had a longer lifespan than normal because Apple had a low-cost iPad that they were selling that was effectively an iPad 2, but they stopped selling that a couple of years ago. And I would say, you might even be able to get the iPad, fifth generation iPad, for a similarly low cost because it's been replaced by the iPad.
Yeah, right now is a good time to buy. So I see, like, on eBay, $129.
For iPad 2?
iPad 2, $143.94.
Oh, don't buy an iPad 2.
So, yeah, if you're going to, maybe this Newegg refurbished iPad 2 for $94, but if you really think, have you heard the phrase "utils"?
No.
This I also learned from my children.
Utils.
They might have made it up. It's like how much use and love you'll get out of something.
Oh.
Like, really, like, that include that. No, don't just look at the price.
That's a low util.
Yeah. Like, how much
dollar.
Use will you get
the ratio
out
of utils per dollar?
Yeah.
Not good.
So it might look, $94 versus, you know, I don't know how much a
Let's say you get 10 utils out of an Air 2, but you get 50 utils out of a new iPad. Now, admittedly, the Air 2 costs half as much, but you're going to get 5 times the utils.
Yeah.
That's the newer iPad.
Too.
5 times the utils, friends. Why didn't Tim Cook mention that on stage?
I don't know,
today?
But it's important. It's important with everything that you buy,
I
whether
want
it be
word,
like
utils.
Clothes
I hope that's
device.
A real. We're making that real. Utils.
Yeah, utils. I don't know. Hope it won't be like milkshake duct, like some sort of Nazi made up utils.
Did the kids make up some word?
I don't know. Utils.
How do you spell it?
I don't know. Maybe with a U, since you're talking about use.
It sounds like something Gidget would have made up.
Utils.
She made up toodles.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone else has heard the word. How much use and love you'd get out of something.
Undergraduate degree level expectations? No.
not
utils. Utils of noodles. I like utils.
Yeah.
I love that word.
Let's just decide
I'm using
that.
It's going to be my new word. How much, what is it, use and love you get out of it?
Yeah.
Not how many utils you get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, well, use and love. And like, well, yeah.
Are we agreed that we're going to spell it with a Y?
Oh, I don't know.
Or ask the children.
It seems like a U.
Ask the children.
Okay, I will. I will. They might have made it up. I'm guessing it came from a YouTuber, but...
you know, it probably did. And God bless whoever that is.
Yeah.
Coming up with utils.
All right. So we're suggesting to Alex that he buy...
I wouldn't get that go that far back. I think that at this point, an iPad 2 is too old.
Check your utils. Luis says, any suggestions on a thin iPhone case for the iPhone 10?
Ooh. You're the iPhone case queen.
Yeah, I'm just sitting around waiting for someone to ask me a question about
Please
cases.
Ask me about iPhone cases.
This is the Peel case, super thin. And this is the totally, I mean, they are really the thinnest. I did a screensaver segment on the 10 best cases for the iPhone 10, and these were the thin ones. The one, I mean, it depends on what you mean by thin. The case I use right now, this is from Nomad, and it's pretty thin, but also I think it offers a little more protection. So it depends on you want thin and still protection or also the iPhone case, just the regular one from iPhone, the silicone case, that's pretty thin as well. But that I think is going to cost like $200. Let's see, it's $39. Sorry, it's way off. The Totally, which is this one, costs $18 and the Peel costs $25. So
those are pretty thin.
And I mean, yeah, thin. Yeah, these are very thin. So...
I actually, again, I'm going to reiterate that I really like the case that you gave me.
Yeah, it's there.
It's very nice of you.
There by your computer.
This is the Apple Folio, the leather Folio case. It's the first case. I wanted a case that would protect the screen. I really did. And it's the first one wallet case that I could actually put some stuff in, but doesn't really feel bulky. It's because Apple uses a very soft leather or mm-hmm. something. I don't know what it is. It's a little pricey is the only negative.
That looks, yeah, is that the leather or is that, yeah.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. leather Folio.
It is kind of pricey.
Yeah, it is a shame. It's $99. But good utils on it.
And Eric Duckman in the chat room says that recommends the OtterBox Commuter, not as bulky as the Defender.
Oh, yeah, it's an OtterBox gives you a nice protection, which is great.
And Alex C. recommends the Spigen thin case.
I use the Spigens on all of my phones. Mm. That's my default case.
Email us, Megan at twit.tv or Megan at Megan Maroney. A lot of these questions came from Twitter. You can DM
Love
me.
Those.
Love questions.
Yes.
I'm ready to wear hats. But first, let's talk about ActiveCampaign.
A word from our sponsor.
Yes.
A new sponsor, by the way, ActiveCampaign. If you are doing email marketing or marketing of any kind, ActiveCampaign is the one to look at. Because they have the features that make your email campaign so much more effective. You want to close more sales, you need ActiveCampaign. It's so much more than marketing automation. You get the right type of message to the right person at the right time. Stop sending blast emails. You know, that's a waste of time and energy and, frankly, not as welcome in the inbox as a smart email. With the ActiveCampaign smart tools, you can dynamically show different content. Get this. Dynamically show different content in your message depending on your customers' information, their interactions with you, their social data, their interests. It makes each email targeted to the interest of your customer. You can send personalized messages, whether they're on your website, browsing their inbox, in and about on a mobile device. So really, I shouldn't even say email because it's even more than that. You can do all kinds of messaging. Design eye-catching campaigns. ActiveCampaign is a really nice drag-and-drop campaign builder. You can also do split testing. This is really valuable to figure out what is going to work for you. It's like A/B testing, but I don't want to call it A/B testing because you can have up to 5 different versions. That's pretty advanced. Find the exact content layout and settings that your subscribers respond to with split testing. Multi-user editing means everybody in the enterprise or anybody you designate in the enterprise can help you create this content. They've got revision history, integrations to a lot of different tools. There's a bunch of them right there, I think, yeah. Conditional content, geo-tracking, site tracking, social sharing, integration with your Google Analytics. It's optimized for mobile. They even give you free image hosting. In fact, they give you a lot with ActiveCampaign. When you go to activecampaign.com/ Twit. Identify, nurture, convert, and retain more customers with ActiveCampaign. For a free 14-day trial, go to activecampaign.com/twit. As you can see, you're going to get more than that. You also get a free migration from your existing tool. You get 2 free one-on-ones, even a second month free. ActiveCampaign.com/twit. This is the tool you've been looking for. ActiveCampaign.com/twit. All right, mate. Time for me to put on my bush hat.
Mine too.
And your Mountie hat.
What's my hat?
A Mountie hat.
Oh, Mountie hat.
Or a Smokey the Bear hat.
Mm-hmm.
You get to pick.
I'll be a Mountie.
All right.
We are wearing hats. Why?
Because we have the App Cap Awards of the week.
Mm-hmm.
The best apps of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And you start.
I start. Mine is called The Parallax View. Have you heard this?
I love that movie.
It is a movie, and yeah, it is also an app. And it is...
Is it the movie in an app?
Not really.
Oh.
It's Peter Norby, a.k.a. Algo Mystic. He used Unity, AR kit, and the iPhone X's True Depth camera.
Holy cow. What is he doing?
To create this app. So he's using...
Well, yes. You got to show me how this looks.
So,
this is cool.
Here it is.
So it's looking at your eyeball.
Mm-hmm. So it can see that I'm
moving. See what you're
moving.
Looking at. Yeah.
And then I can... Let's
can you
see.
Look
I think
into
the,
something?
Yes. Like, let's look into my...
Look into
my,
the vortex.
The void.
The void.
Okay. I think I recorded just in case this didn't work. Let's look. Can you show that video?
It might be our lights. Our lights really defeat a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Let's show. There, I took a screen. Oh.
You're looking into your dog's eyes.
Turn it, I guess.
Oh, wow. You're looking like at buildings.
Yes.
Wow. So it's kind of an augmented reality thing based on your eyeballs.
Yes. Oh, and here's the vibranium I promised. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's eye tracking. So I'm moving my head, as
does
you can see.
Does it look interesting to you? Because does it look any different, I guess?
Yes.
You?
If I cover my left eye, as you can see, I'm covering my left eye. You can't see that it looks different. But if you...
it looks exactly the same. Except you look different.
You cover your left eye while you're looking at
it. No, because it's not looking at my eyes.
That's
true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do it.
And then it can look inside my iPhone. So there's my one more thing inside my iPhone. And there's my Courage processor. So if you have an iPhone 10...
Wait a minute. That's inside your...
it's not really
your iPhone?
Inside my iPhone. But
that's neat.
And there's the void that he was looking at. So, yeah, it's hard with a hat, too. But it is... it's very cool. I mean, it doesn't do anything except for if you're a developer and you want to figure out how to use ARKit. This is a good... He goes through and shows... how he did
so it's just really a kind of proof of concept kind of a thing.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you know, you can see, I guess, if you just need to relax a little bit and looking into the void of your iPhone might help.
To relax.
Totally free.
Nice. Noise.
It's called the Parallax View.
Parallax
There's
View.
Peter, the creator.
He kind of looks like Snake Plissken.
He does a little bit. So check it out. It's super interesting.
Huh? Oh, Kevin says he understands the reference.
Good to know.
Who was I talking to the other day? I think it was Jason Snell, and I made a side reference. And this is what the kids do now, reference acknowledged, and then moved on.
Oh, that's what he did?
Yeah, Snake Plissken, okay. There he is, from Escape from New York.
And if you want to find out more.
But as you notice, the patch is on the other side.
Oh.
You know what that means.
He graduated?
No, his other eye got shot out.
Mm.
All right, let's go look at my pile of do. D-O-O. Do you have a pile of do? Sure you do. Honeydews, things to do. Lots of things to do.
I call them to-dos, and I call them a list, not a pile.
A pile of do's. This is a $4.99 to-do app that I kind of like because it's card-based. And it's good at nagging you. And I think any to-do list, if it's really going to be useful, should be good at nagging you.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, 23 minutes ago, I was supposed to buy you a snake.
I
can snooze it, but it's going it's gonna come back. That snake's going to come back to haunt me. It's easy to create to-dos, just as with any. Let's see. Prepare for iOS today.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And I should do that every...
Tomorrow.
Yeah. God, you're such a taskmaster. there's a big tomorrow button. That's easy. I can say repeat it, and I should repeat that every week, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
The options would be, this is the one, nag notifications. Mm-hmm. If I don't do it by then, remind me on the date, end date, never. Three extra notifications, the nag notifications. Three extra notifications, 10 minutes apart. You'll see in a minute. I'll get another nag notification. So there you go. And then you save it. And it's part of your to-do list. Actually, I didn't do it right, but you get the idea. You can also look at your to-dos in card form, which is kind of nice. Yeah, I know you like cards. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, it's prettier. It has a lot of, you know, the fancy stuff. You can start sharing this with somebody. It creates a public URL people can use to view and edit, which is kind of, I don't know of any to-do list that'll make a public URL that people can click on. And then they can have something to say about it. So, for instance, you know what? I should probably do that with the Prepare for iOS Today.
Oh, yeah.
Let's share that.
And then
people can say, I'm going to send this to you. People can say, let's just send it to you right now.
I have something to say about it. I'm going to
accept
that.
And you can accept that. Now you did. And now you have it.
Oh, so I have to go to the App Store.
Well, you have to buy this for $4.99, I'm sorry to say, but that's okay. It will copy this all out to iCloud, so you have, you know, you can have multiple devices. I can put this on my phone as well, which I will. This is, I think, you know, look, there's a lot of different to-do apps, right? Not everything is perfect for everybody. But if you like kind of big cards, mm-hmm. you like the idea of backing up to iCloud, and Nags is one big thing. And the other one I really like is the ability to share it in this way so that you could then say, and don't forget your app cap or something like that.
And it has Apple Watch app too that looks pretty
interesting. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I got to put that on my watch.
Yeah, so you can, here's what the Apple Watch app looks like.
Nice. Right here. Very nice.
So,
yeah.
Coffee with milk.
And I can have a complication.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah. I like this.
Yeah,
$5. Look, it appears to also include stickers of some kind.
Well, hell yeah. What good would a do list be without stickers?
Mm-hmm.
You can get a pile of do's with some nice stickers.
Remind me to cut bread on the breadboard.
Put some sticker on your do.
That's important.
Cut bread on the breadboard. I think that's the cooking sticker.
Oh, okay.
But you're right. It could be that. Could be that. DOO $4.99, my app cap of the week, because I'm always looking for a better way to remember what I have to do.
Mm-hmm. I like that, too. If you share it with me, then I can nag you even more than you want to be nagged.
Well, and it does support family sharing, so you can buy it once and have everybody in your house nag you, which is nice. Get things done.
For ways to nag people.
Yeah.
That's
it.
We've done it. We do definitely. If you're an educator,
we want to hear from you.
A parent or any.
I want to know what you think about Apple's announcements today, because really these are announcements for you more than they are for us.
MeganEdgewood.tv, at Megan Maroney on Twitter. iOS Today at twit.tv. I also check that email account. And send us a video of yourself. We also like to hear questions in video. So, and tune in every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific. So you can watch it live at twit.tv/live.
Noon Eastern, 1600 UTC.
Mm-hmm.
twit.tv/live. irc.twit.tv if you want to join us in the chat room. And if you want to be in the studio, we'd love to have you. Just email us, tickets@twit.tv. Tickets are free.
And it's great because you can have a twofer. You can watch this and then watch Mac Break Weekly.
Now I'm going to do something just for you. Hey, Siri, subscribe to iOS Today. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next time on iOS Today, mate.